Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
I want to speak this morning just on a thought that's really germinating within my heart and spirit, based on something I said last week. If you were here last week, just really during the transition, I spoke a little bit about David when he went to fight the giant. That just started to work something in my spirit. So I may refer to that again this morning, just in the context of the sermon. A number of years ago, a couple walked into a restaurant. As they were walking towards their seat, being led by the waitress, they noticed a family holding hands and praying. So they sort of made their way to the seat, and then these were Christians, and they were so excited by seeing this family pray publicly that they went across to them once they stopped praying and just says, "Hey, it's just so good to see people praying in a public place, giving grace before you eat your food." To which the family reply, "Oh, we're not giving thanks for the food. We're Satanists. And we are praying against the church, against the work of God, against families. We are praying destruction on behalf of Satan." Now, that may shock you, but they then said these words, "And all around the nation, there are people that are doing the same thing because we are believing for the destruction of the church." I was raised in an era where you see the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there was a time in our Christian life when everything that went wrong, it was Satan's fault. So if you had a cold, it was Satan's fault. If you tripped, it was Satan's fault. If you got a bad result in your exams, it was Satan's fault. Now, that wasn't true. Maybe it was just because you didn't study. But there was an era in church life where everything got blamed on Satan, which took the responsibility off of us and onto him, which then meant there was no personal responsibility in our life. Now, sadly, this is what happens, because that's nonsense. But here's what's happened in church life, Christian, that the pendulum has swung so far now that we're not even aware. We sing against Satan, but we're not aware that Satan is strategically placed coming against you and me and the work of God. He is not pleased with us this morning. And let me just say, caveat, I'm not here to give any glory to Satan. I'm here to glorify God. But I feel this morning like Jim McAnally, who is the Peterhead manager. And you know I have the privilege as chaplain to go in there for the team talk. And he'll stand there and he'll speak to the team regarding the tactics for the game, what to be aware of, etc., etc. And will you just allow me for 15 minutes to be the captain and just to encourage us in an awareness that we are in a battle. We are in a battle, hell against heaven. Now, I need to say this as well, that I've read the end of the book, and the good news is this, we win. I said, the good news is this, we win. So this morning, I'm not talking from a point of defeat. I'm talking from a point of victory. But I tell you, we need to avoid the casualties that we're seeing in the church of God. And how do we do that? We must become spiritually aware and spiritually enlightened that in the midst of this battle, that we have one that goes before us, is strengthening us. He's a rear guard. He's a forward guard. And here's the good news. He is with us, for us, not against us. So I say that to caveat the beginning, because I don't want anyone going out this morning and saying, "Oh, we talked about the devil." I'm here to talk about God and give glory to God. But I am here to shake us up and say, church, we need to arise, because I believe that this is a strategic time for Apex Church, in the life of Apex Church. Thank God for everything he's done. But I'm ready for what God's about to do. Thank God for every salvation we've seen, every water baptism we've seen, everyone baptized in the Holy Spirit. But listen, we cannot live in our past. We've got to believe for an incredible future. And we will only have a future as we underline our todays and say, hey, so if I sound a little bit militant, please forgive me. If I sound angry, I'm not angry. But I believe that we need to become sharp in the things of God. Let me read a scripture. It would be good to read a scripture, wouldn't it? That would probably just help some of you and give some context. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 6. It will come up on the screen. The Apostle Paul said this, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who loved his appearing. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith." You and I, church, it's vital. We must lift up Jesus, put on the whole armor of God, and recognize that we are in a battle. But here's the deal. I want to fight to the end. I don't want to give up. I don't want to be shoved out of the way. I am determined. If there are some things I'm determined in life, it's this. I am going to finish strong. I have been so just consumed with this thought over the last number of months, because as I look around, I sometimes see that folk begin to just drag their feet a little in the Christian walk. People that were once full on for God are not so full on anymore. People that you see worshiping God don't worship as passionately anymore. It's almost like we've lost our passion and our zip and our let's do for it. I don't want to fizzle out. I want to finish strong. Well, I can't finish strong if I don't get strong right now. I can't believe for the coming years if I'm not prepared to put the work in now. Now, a lot of these thoughts come from the fact, have you noticed how many accidents and illnesses are happening around Apex Church? Daniel shared with us this morning that his mom and dad going in with their daughter-in-law and grandchildren. Just a drive to Aberdeen that your dad and mom has driven many, many times before. Just another day with no expectation except getting to Aberdeen. And then they have a head-on collision. Now, please, I'm not saying it's the fault of the enemy. But what I am saying is we better start praying protection over our families. Mom is driving, turning many months ago, Mom is driving to our house, actually going into Peterhead to post a card to your grandma, to let your grandma know she's thinking. Mom has turned how many times into that road? We've lost count. Once again, accident breaks several ribs. She's healing well in hospital. As she's healing in hospital, she has a slip, and that knocks her back again. This is not coincidence that all these things are happening. Phyllis, as you know, my wife, is recovering from surgery. She's doing well, by the way, and thank you for your prayers. She's recovering well, but for 2 years plus has had the most difficult time of illness and sickness, etc., etc. You'll hear this afternoon of some other situations. What am I saying, folks? Don't just say, well, it's just coincidence and it just happens. Yes, there are things that are coincidences, but there are things that are strategically put our way by the enemy to take us out of the plan and will of God. And that's why we must raise the armor of faith and believe everything we sing, everything we preach about, the illness, the sickness, the list and the names that we have there. Listen, we've got to declare, and please forgive me, church, we've got to declare no more. Somewhere along the line, something within us has got to begin to swell up and say, I have had enough of sickness in my family. I have had enough of illness in my family. And we declare that God is our healer, God is our peace, and God is there, and God will be for us victorious in the battle. And I know for many of you, this may seem, well, we're not familiar with this, and whoa, this, what's this spiritual warfare? Most of you are going through spiritual warfare and you don't even know it. Most of you are facing things in your life that you just think happen, that you just think, well, that's just the way it is. And actually, the enemy is doing everything he can. We think that when Satan reveals himself, it's like that caricature of the red devil, come on, with the horns and with the hook. Corinthians says he appears as an angel of light. That tells me that he can be there and aren't even aware of it. His strategies, that's why the Bible says that we've got to be aware of his devices. But I just have this feeling that as Apex Church is getting ready to step into something new, as the devil is throwing everything he can at us, that there is a group of people that are so determined to see the will of God and the plan of God and the destiny of God for Apex Church unfold, that as the enemy throws everything at us, that we're going, it's not going to put us off, it's not going to slow us down, it's going to make us more determined than ever to see his kingdom come and his will be done. And you should all be shouting amen right there. You want to talk about fighting talk? You're saying, Neil, this sounds like fighting talk. Listen to this scripture from Joel. I saw this the other day and I thought this was great. Scripture from Joel. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. I don't know about you, but that sounds like fighting talk to me. You know, we quote from Joel in those last days. He will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Yes, yes, yes. But it also says, get ready for a battle. Get yourself ready. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now we sing that and we quote it. That is the context of the weak saying, I am strong, is in the midst of battle and challenge and adversity that we're getting ready for the battle that lies ahead. Scripture is full of great examples. Let me give you three real quickly. David, I referred to him last week. I love David, don't you? I love the fact that David, and please forgive me if I repeat some things I said last week. I love the fact that David is on his way bringing sandwiches to his brothers. You never know what a day is going to bring. Bread and cheese to his brothers. When he gets there, there's lots of noise, but there's no action. I said, church, when he gets there, there's lots of noise and lots of pretense, but no action. Oh, I tell you, the guys are all posturing and everyone's standing there and all these mighty men of battle, oh, they're all there. But the moment that Goliath appears, in the midst of the noise and the posturing, no one wants to take on the enemy. It's amazing the giants that Satan will put into your life. But sometimes the giants that are sent to take you out are actually giants that are sent to propel you into your destiny. You see, sometimes we all need a giant. Sometimes we need a Goliath, because if there was no Goliath, then David would not have had the victory publicly that he did. So actually, some battles aren't no battles. So there's lots of noise and there's pretense, because that's what happens, because these are men of war. And David walks into this scenario of just young David, and he delivers the food to the guy that looks after it, and he hears this enemy, this uncircumcised Philistine, taunting God's people. And he's just a shepherd boy, which tells me your victory and your destiny has nothing to do with the identity that people put on you. Oh, who are they? They're just a little church in the northeast of Scotland. Oh, who are they? They're just colloquial people from Peterhead. Yes, we're from Peterhead. Yes, we're from Fraserburgh. We even have some English here this morning. But let me tell you something bigger than that. The kingdom of God resides within our heart. And don't you write us off because we're a little church in the northeast of Peterhead. Don't you think to yourself, if you're here this morning, if you're listening by podcast, don't you think, oh, these wee folkies up there that speak funny up in Peterhead, I'll tell you something. We may be shepherd boys. We may seem like village people. But when destiny and God is in your heart, the anointing of God will take you further than your birthright, than your environment, than your upbringing, etc., etc. It's the power and destiny of God. And David was so secure in God that when the giant looked at him and taunted him, there was something within David's spirit that began to rise. I love this. And the giant is looking at him. And David's looking at him. And David hears the words of the giant trying to belittle him. But the words did not affect David, because already he had the security in his spirit and in his soul that the Lord was with him. You see, people will say things. If you go by what people will say, you can be taken out. If you go by public opinion, you'll be taken out. Let me tell you that. Your identity is not based on what people think about you or have to say about you. Because one day they'll say Hosanna and the next day they'll say crucify. The same people that are lifting you up one day are the same people that will pull you down the other day. If you go by public opinion, you're never going to make it. It's not what man has to say about you. It's what God has already declared about you. It's what God has already declared about you. I heard this week, going to throw this in publicly. I heard this week, someone said to me, oh, we hear you're going through trying times at Apex Church. I went, really? Yeah, we hear that things are difficult. And I'm like, you didn't tell me, guys. I'm like, didn't hear it. Yes, things are bad and things are not good and this and that. And I'm going, well, I'm sorry. I don't know whose report you're believing, but that's not the report I'm getting. Oh, and this is the bit I love. And I'm saying this publicly. This is the bit I love. People talk to you as if because they've heard it, it's right. Because someone said it to them, it's right. Listen, an opinion doesn't mean it's right. Just because you have an opinion, it does not make you right. Sorry if that sounded rude. So I loved saying to this individual, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. And I prophesy now to every doubter, we are about to enter the best season that we've ever had at Apex Church. To every negative comment, to everyone that tries to put, and can I just put this out for all the spiritual folk, and this is for the podcast, because it's none of you folks here, okay? So let's just be clear. It's not you, it's the guys, because here's what happens. Do you know that our doubters listen to the podcast? So this is for you in the podcast. I'm speaking to you right now, and this is what I'm saying. If you are so spiritual, why are you saying and gossiping privately? If you really believe that, then come and speak to us publicly. Because if you really love God, the fruit of the Spirit, then the Bible says that negativity, badness and goodness can't flow from the same root. So that's just for the podcast. Is that okay? That was just a pastoral moment. So David, back to David. And the reason I said that is because I feel the spirit of David on me this morning. So David goes to the giant and says these words. You come against me with spears and shields and swords, etc. He says, but I come against you in the name of the Lord our God. And David said this to his brothers. Is there not a cause? Apex Church, there's a cause. How many of you have unsaved loved ones in your family? How many of you have folk that once walked with Jesus, but they're not walking with Jesus now? How many of you have sickness in your family? How many of you have a situation that you need to God to intervene in your family? Folks, is there not a cause? And we need, excuse me for being passionate. I'm passionate this morning. God never called the church to be lame and inefficient and just get by. And we need that spirit of David that looked at this giant and just went, well, oh, come on, big boy, let's do this. Let's do this. And that's what I feel like this morning. I feel like, let's do this. Let's do this. Because we have a town that is yet to be won for Jesus. We have friends and family and work colleagues that need Jesus. And we can make a difference. That's David. What about Eliezer? The Bible says Eliezer, he was one of David's mighty men. Listen to what it says about him. That in the midst of battle, everyone retreated, but he stayed still and fought until his hand stuck to the sword. That term actually means welded. It was like that he had held it so long, that sword became part of his hand for so long as he's fighting, and everyone else retreats, and he's there. And notice this, because some of you are feeling this way, he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. The Bible does not promise that in the midst of battle, you will not become weary. Did you get that? It does not say you will not be weary, but what it says is this, that I will be with you, Jesus promised, even till the end of the age. So if you're in a battle right now and you're feeling weary, the good news is this, God is still with you. And his hand stuck to the sword. And then the Bible says that everyone who retreated came back to the battle. Sometimes it just takes someone to stand and fight. And when someone stands and fight, it inspires everyone round about them. Then there was this other guy called Shammah. I think he's an interesting guy. I'll tell you why. Because he centered himself right in the midst of a lentil patch. Now, I've said this before. Please forgive me. Why would you give your life for a lentil patch? Okay, there's a lot I'm going to give my life for. If you want my McDonald's, you can have it. You want my fish and chips? You can have it. There's things I'll go to war for. There's things I won't go to war for. But there was something so significant about this piece of land that Shammah stationed himself and fought until the victory. And then when the victory was given once again, those that left returned. What am I saying this morning? I could go on and on and on and give you examples of men and women who in the midst of the battle felt weary, but they were so consumed by the purpose of God in their life and the destiny that God had over them that when everyone else gave up, they stepped up. When everyone else gave up, they stepped up because they would rather do the will of God than flow according to the plan of man. David was ushered into his destiny. Shammah, Eliezer. There's another guy called Adino. What a great name. Killed 800 men. What am I saying this morning? I don't know what your battle is. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your challenge is. I don't know what's happening in your world. But I am determined this morning, please forgive me for quoting my favorite scripture, Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't know if any of you saw BBC news this week. Kath Agnew came in, and she said to me, Neil, what a shock I got. She says, I'm listening to the news, and I hear them say something about Neil Cameron from Peterhead getting a tattoo, and she thought, no! No, wait. She didn't think I got the tattoo. She's like, you've got it wrong. He's the chaplain of Peterhead. So both my sons are famous or infamous. Both have been on TV. Not for the reasons I would have planned. It's been truthful. And someone texts me and says, oh, so good to see your son on TV. I'm like, yep. One son on the West End, one with tattoos, great pastoral work right there. I say that because it may not be, and by the way, don't write a letter or email to me because it'll just get binned, okay? They're young men, it is what it is, I've committed them to Jesus. Just to make that clear to everyone, just to help you. You know, you dedicate your children to God. But they come of age that they're responsible for their own actions. We pray for them. Don't judge. Judgment never helped anyone. So love them both to death and believing that they're going to have a dear encounter with Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, thank you. So I did. I was chuckling to myself. You know, one of those moments I'm going, great pastoral work. Great pastoral work. But you know what? It is. Because both my boys still love to be around us. They're going on holiday with us. They're maybe not doing the things that we would do, but they're still in our world. And I say that to everyone who has kids in their family that maybe aren't walking with Jesus as you would like right now. Listen, don't abandon them. Keep them in your world. Because don't push them out of your world and expect them to come into Jesus' world. Pray for them. But listen to my declaration. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It will not happen if I give up, if I lose my zeal, if I lose my passion, if I become just, oh, well, if everyone... No. I have to raise my Ebenezer. I have to raise my banner. I have to call on his name and get on my knees and pray, because I'm believing for my house, I'm believing for this church family, and I'm believing for Peterhead. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. So come on, let's stand to our feet. Forgive me, it sounded like some ranting there. Please forgive me. Stand to your feet. Can we just sing that I Will Build? I wonder if you could, if you're just comfortable, just lift your hands right now. Father, I'm praying right now for everyone who is facing a situation, a storm, a difficulty, a challenge, where God, we're aware of the enemy trying to take us out. Father God, I'm praying right now for the strength of God and the power of God to so fill us afresh. We want that spirit like David, like Ebenezer, like Shammah, God. We want that spirit in us that says, you're not getting my lentil patch and you're not getting my home. That we may be weary, but our hand is sticking to the sword. That in the midst of all the negativity that people would say about us and the doubt and the pulling down, we speak the plan of God, we speak the will of God, we speak the love of God. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be the people you have called us to be. Lord, your word tells us, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor entered into the heart, the spirit of man, the things that you have prepared for us, that you can reveal them to us, God. And Father, as we heard last week, we don't know what is waiting for us just the other side of the mountain. Or the enemy wants to take us out because there's something for us just the other side of the mountain. People would doubt about Apex Church because you have something for us just the other side of the mountain. Father, we feel weary and sickness and illness and disease, because you have something just the other side of the mountain. And the enemy would try to immobilize us, to make us think that we cannot. But your word says, let the weak say, I am strong. I'm weak, but I'm declaring I am strong. So Father, I pray that you would filter out everything that was unnecessarily said by me this morning. Father, I pray for inspiration across this church. Father, I call destiny, I call purpose, I call life. I speak the will of God and I speak the word of God. And Father, that what the enemy has meant for evil, I believe right now, God, that you will turn around for good. Father, I thank you for Mrs. C here. We speak the power of God in our life. For everyone, may it unfold in Jesus' name. Amen.